College Football Nerds here talking Kentucky and Georgia. Two things to call out for y'all. One, well, maybe three things. One, we do a live show every Saturday. Y'all need to check it out. Link's in the description. It's on our YouTube channel, but it's also podcast form, 2.5 hours long. We started at the halftime of Alabama A&M. So if you want to hear us talk through that game, and y'all, I'm sure, excited that Alabama lost, it's a fun show. Second thing, I want to promote something that we're going to release later this week. We're going to do a hypothetical, because it was pretty interesting. We ran the model on a hypothetical of if Georgia and Ohio State played on a neutral field today, what that would look like. So keep an eye out for that one. Probably going to come Tuesday or Wednesday. Just wait for that one. And then finally, in the comments, give us your score, you knuckleheads. We love talking with y'all about your score predictions, just like ours. You can tell us how we're crazy, why we're crazy, and we'll mix it up with you in the comments. While you're down there, like, subscribe. It'll help us out. All right, Josh. Kentucky is this kind of team that sort of sneaks up on people and is good, and then boom, they get 10 wins. This is what's happened the last, you know, decade when we've seen this happen. And it really caught Ed Orgeron by surprise when they asked him the post-game presser some questions. And he was like, one of the things that really caught me off guard is I was surprised that Kentucky was able to run the ball or was so good at running the ball. And, you know, after what they did to teams like a couple hundred yards on South Carolina, 300 yards on Missouri, was able to run on Florida. You were saying, what in the world is he watching? And maybe he wasn't watching. Maybe he was spending too much time issuing death threats on local radio shows. But Josh, if we talk about this game and kind of tee it up and contextualize it, you and I are both, spoiler, going to pick Georgia in this game, but this is an interesting game for both of us, given that Vegas has got it at a 22.5-point spread. Josh, my question to you is, if Kentucky can run the ball against these other teams, they can at least maybe be competent against Georgia. And then doesn't that mean we're looking at unders and we're looking at, you know, Kentucky to cover straight out the gate?
It's kind of bizarre to me. I know the super early line was something like Georgia by 26. And I almost wonder if it wasn't able to adjust enough or what the deal is. I mean, why do people see it the way they do? And we'll get into a model in a minute, but you know, I was seeing some predictors at Hare that had it like 14 to 45-ish, you know, Georgia over Kentucky and like other computer models. I don't see the game this way. And look, one of the statistics we generate, and it'll be shown in our model later, is percentage of opponent averages allowed. So Georgia allows teams 54% of their rushing averages. That's per play. Total yardage is a bunk stat in college football.
Which is bonkers, by the way.
Yeah, 54% of opponent rushing averages is insane. That means whatever you come into the game averaging running the ball, Georgia straight up cuts it in half. Not just like, you know, goes from 5 yards a carry to 4 or 5 to 3. No, you go from 5 to 2.5. From good run game to non-functional. We've only seen those numbers a couple times. Alabama's 2016 defense was in that realm. Clemson's defensive line, which was maybe the best defensive line in the modern era of college football. Tipping my hat to Georgia, that defensive line was still insane. With all the guys they had there, like 2018, they were like 4 or 5 first-round draft picks on the same D-line. They were about the same number. But here's the rub, okay? Kentucky comes into this game averaging almost 6 yards a carry. And if you take the 54% number and you throw it at Kentucky, and our model is going to do this, it spits out about 3.1 yards per carry predicted, okay? 3.1 yards per carry would still be better than any team in non-garbage time has run the ball against Georgia. UAB is the only team that finished over 3 yards a carry in a game. And Georgia's averaging 2.2 allowed. The point here is Kentucky is so much better at running the ball than anyone Georgia has faced. They might be able to move the ball some. They might be able to get some rush yards that can sustain some drives. And if they do that, I virtually guarantee you what Kentucky's going to do is try to shorten the game. Because if you shorten the game, fewer possessions means a, you know, punt that's blocked, or the Florida game, right? A blocked field goal returned for a touchdown. Those 10 points, can put you in a position to be able to win the ball game. The longer it draws out, the more you kind of have a regression to the mean, right? Georgia does Georgia, Kentucky does Georgia, Kentucky. And it's like that Alabama A&M game. You kind of feel like the longer that went, the more likely Alabama was to win. So all that said, 22.5 is a lot of points. Because if Kentucky can run the ball enough, not saying to win, but just to keep the game short, Georgia's got to find a way to score 4 more touchdowns than Kentucky. And if you do that in like 8 possessions against a really good Kentucky defense, you're going to have to score like every other possession, score a touchdown, and never let Kentucky score, right? 4 touchdowns in 8 possessions still doesn't do it if Kentucky manages to score once. So it's just, that's a crazy high line for two teams that are both really focused on running the football.
And the flip side of this, and maybe where Vegas is seeing it, is in a lot of these games, and this is a little bit different discussion than we normally have, but I think it's an interesting one, so I'm gonna lean into it. A lot of these games, you see teams going into it really playing not to lose, really want to shorten the game so they don't get blown out, so they don't drop too far in the rankings, and they keep a nice, you know, perception of who they are as a team. And Kentucky's not going to do that. This coaching staff, this team is going to try to win because they are undefeated and they are within striking distance of winning a division. So there's a lot on the line, and I don't think they're just going to go into a shell and try to get 3 yards a carry, 2.8 yards a carry, just to keep the chains moving enough to keep Georgia off the field and knowing that they're never going to win and lose the game, you know, 27-3 or 27-6. I don't think they're going to do that. And that's where you might get Georgia covering, because then you end up with turnovers and short fields and teams clawing from behind. We saw, Josh, who was it a couple of weeks ago where it was like a 7-point game, and then there was trying to get back into it, back-to-back pick sixes that really changed the perception of what that game looked like.
Was it like Notre Dame, Wisconsin maybe?
Yeah. Yeah, it was. It was Notre Dame, Wisconsin. And so that's the kind of thing that could get this into a pretty comfortable cover. But Georgia, we've got Georgia, the best team in the country right now. Everybody else does too. But to your credit, Josh, and I want Georgia fans, you've been patient. I appreciate it. But I want to make sure we talk some about Kentucky because we don't get to talk about them that much. I want you to kind of take a victory lap and endear yourself to these Kentucky listeners, because you tweeted something in July about Kentucky and got laughed at on Twitter, and I want you to talk about that a little bit, kind of what you tweeted and what you saw coming into the season.
So our Twitter is at CFBNerds, and we try to give our honest opinion, which is not always right or accurate, or a lot of times not always popular, but we try to give our honest opinion. And something I noted, which we don't say very often, I felt like Kentucky was grossly underrated. In fact, I said, is this the most slept-on team in the conference this year? Because what happened, it was July into August. I flagged it in July, and then I really brought it up in August. They got Dare Rosenthal from LSU, LSU's only good offensive tackle. They get Levis from Penn State, who's not necessarily the best quarterback in the world, but is a good, competent quarterback. They take by far the best weapon from Nebraska in Wandale Robinson. They pair him with a very good stable of running backs, what should be a pretty good offensive line, and a really good defense. And what do you end up with? That sounds like a darn good team. And I was kind of sitting there running through it, and I went, you know, I don't know that they're going to win the SEC, but good offensive line, great offensive tackle to build on, run game, actually have a weapon wide receiver, actually have a quarterback that can distribute the football, all these holes that they've had in recent years, and they were competitive in a lot of games with those holes. So why don't we expect them to be a major player this year? And, you know, I kind of called it. I mean, frankly, I said, look, it won't surprise me if Kentucky ends up being the second best team in the SEC East. And I think that's probably true right now, right? I mean, they've already beaten Florida. And I think the Florida-Kentucky game is seen as a little bit of a fluke when it's more just what Kentucky's identity is. They're going to play defensive football, try to stay in the game, run the ball. Florida's a little sketchy, herky-jerky, and that's how they won it. So, yeah, I mean, to take a victory lap on that, I was very high on Kentucky. I thought Kentucky had every opportunity to be good. A lot of people thought they might be, but you know, we were talking even in our top 10s at the beginning of the year. I kept saying, don't sleep on Kentucky. And we're talking about all this top 10 and how we're having a hard time putting teams in. And I kept saying, look, man, you know, Kentucky not being ranked as a legitimate top 25 team was probably really unjustified because I think they're a legit team. And everybody that's so high on like Arkansas, they need to wake up a little bit because I think Kentucky's playing a high level of football. And if you're a Georgia fan, I think you need to fully appreciate that Kentucky, I'm going to say this right now, I think there's every reason to believe that Kentucky is as good or better than Arkansas is, and you should be as concerned about this game as you were the Arkansas game.
And Georgia fans are going to say, yeah, okay, 37-0, gotcha. And we're going to get into the model. That's going to be my next question to you is going to be for you to tee up the model. And Georgia fans are going to somewhat rightly say the model's been not able to key Georgia correctly and not able to see them correctly because it hasn't given them enough credit maybe defensively. But what Georgia fans need to realize is, one, the first model or two we did with them, I think it was the first model, there was very little data out there. I think that was the Arkansas game. And then the Auburn-Georgia model, it had, 34-20? So it was right on the Vegas line. And it was, you know, 10 points off for Auburn. I will take a victory lap for both of us. We picked Auburn, and we didn't do this. We didn't plan ahead. We both had the same score for Auburn, Georgia. 34-13 win for Georgia. Ended up being 34-10. I say all this to say, and Georgia fans, by the way, I put Georgia number one in my top 10 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, but that's another story. I say all this to say, Josh, we've been pretty keyed in on Georgia. Even if our model's not giving them enough credit defensively, I think we have them pegged pretty well. But before we get into our scores, let's talk about how the model sees Georgia in this game and Kentucky in this game and kind of discuss off of that.
So last week's model had Georgia 34-20 right off the bat. So I know a lot of people have been taking this tack that, you know, our models really hate Georgia. Georgia's a much better team. Why do you guys, you know, want to be haters? Well, first off, I'm not a hater because my model reacts to things a certain way, okay? The model is what it is. It's the same model every week. And the main concern here was it had Arkansas 27, Georgia 19. We both said we didn't believe it. We both picked Georgia in that game by a healthy margin. We were both right. But, you know, as of last week, we still had fans saying, oh, your model sucks. It doesn't understand us. We're going to be way better than that. Look what we just did to Arkansas. And yeah, 20 points was too much for Auburn, but obviously 34 points for Georgia, that's tough to do. For my model to actually predict the exact score that your team is going to score in a game, that's kind of hard. And Georgia on our model was 4 yards per carry, was 9.7 yards per play. And against Auburn, where were they? They were about 11 yards per play, and they were about 4.1 yards per carry. A little bit passing and almost exactly the same rushing yardage the model predicted. So at this point, there's enough data, like we talk about, it takes somewhere between about 4 and 7 weeks, that our model's kind of narrowed in on a little bit. And with that in mind, turning now to the week 7 model, it has Georgia 25, Kentucky 16. And the key here is 16 points is kind of hard to stop any team from getting. The model is going to be really reticent to lower the score much more than that because teams will find a way to get one or two random touchdowns in. It's too hard not to bust coverage, not to give up a drive. You saw the same thing happen with Auburn early. And on Georgia's side, it's really about respect it has for Kentucky defensively. We already talked about Georgia's run defensive numbers. In the same vein, Georgia gives up 74% of opponent passing averages. Kentucky, on their end, gives up 75% of opponent rushing averages and about 83% of opponent passing averages. That's really great bordering on elite numbers on both sides from Kentucky. I'd like to see it about 5% better to say it's elite, but you're about 5% off from being an elite defense. That's really stinking good. And to the point I made earlier, Kentucky comes in with a dominant run game. You already mentioned this, right? 130 yards against South Carolina, 330 yards against LSU, 341 yards against Missouri. Even Florida, who's a good defensive team, and that was a really short game, they give up 137, and Kentucky ran for 4.77 yards per carry. No team this year has held Kentucky to 4.5 yards a carry. And that's my mark for a productive run game. No one has managed to keep them to productive or worse. Their passing game has been spotty, but they've run it well in every game. And when you look at those numbers and how it balances out, it thinks, yeah, Georgia's going to outgain Kentucky, but it's going to outgain them by about a yard a play, about 5.5 yards per play to about 4.5. 5.5 yards per play to 4.5 doesn't sound like a big deal, but for example, it's about 8 yards per pass attempt for Georgia, about 6.4 for Kentucky. And those differences are often the difference between a couple extra third down conversions and a couple stalls. It's a three and out where Georgia gets, you know, they're in third and five and they get a 7 yard completion. Kentucky's in third and eight and they get a 4 yard completion. Okay. And those little plays add up into scores. And that's how my model teases out about a 9 point differential. But I don't think it's unreasonable. I don't think it's unreasonable given how Georgia's offense has been up and down, depending on the level of competition. And yes, they've been really effective to date. But Arkansas, for comparison last year, they were 12th in the conference in rush defense. And Ole Miss just lit up Arkansas. So it's easy to say, I don't think anyone Georgia has played has been nearly as good defensively up into possibly unless you want to consider Auburn. Auburn had their own faults and can't run the ball. So if Kentucky can run it such that they can keep the game close, then you end up with a score that I would say is a lot more like the fourth quarter, and that's, you know, Georgia 25, Kentucky 16. And I'm going to steal your thunder and make one point because I'm rambling on long enough anyway, that Auburn-Georgia game was 24-10 at the start of the fourth quarter, right? And what our model is basically saying, because Kentucky can run it, the game is going to end shorter. It's going to end more like where the Georgia-Auburn game was at the start of the fourth quarter. Not to say Kentucky's going to necessarily threaten to win, but Georgia's going to have a hell of a time trying to cover 22.5.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I'm thinking about too. I want to make one point. We've been kind of killed by Georgia fans for not giving future assumed credit in production for receivers and people that would receive the ball, which includes Washington. Without having seen whether they're healthy or whether they're like, Georgia fans want to bake in this production from wide receivers that haven't produced this year in this thought that like, oh, you're downplaying our offense because we've had all these people that were out and now they're all back, which you've pointed out is not necessarily true. But what do we see against Auburn? You know, on one hand, Ladd McConkey coming out with 135 yards and a touchdown, 27 yards per catch. Like, on one hand, it's great that Ladd McConkey is coming up and producing, but also Washington had one catch, right? And that's to your point in that, and don't worry, Georgia fans, I'm about to go positive on this. That's to your point. Like, you can't just say, okay, Washington's back, we're all good again. No, it doesn't really work that way. You can't just assume production. But one guy, Josh, that you can assume is going to produce, and I'm going to die on this hill for Georgia fans, Stetson Bennett is better than Georgia fans give him credit. And he is solid, again, against Auburn. And he did this to Auburn last year, 11 yards per attempt. If you put 11 yards per attempt, two touchdowns, no interceptions on JT Daniels' stat line, people are like, oh, it's amazing. But because Stetson Bennett does it, he doesn't get the credit. Nobody's talking about this yesterday, and that's a little frustrating to me. But I wanted to get that out there before I say this. I don't think Georgia covers in this game. And we were all over it in the last game. I don't think you've missed a pick on Georgia this year. I picked Georgia to beat Arkansas by 14, which wasn't enough. I don't think they cover in this game. They didn't run it and haven't been running it like I want them to run it against some of these teams. I think that Kentucky's going to get about 13 points, and I think it's hard to have to hold them to less than that is tough, like you were saying. I got Georgia 30, Kentucky 13. Tell me what you got.
I have Georgia, I'm going to say 27-13 was my score, and I almost put 27-10, but I do think Georgia's going to struggle to hit 30. And I do think Kentucky's going to find a way to get some points. Just like, you know, that one play with Wondell Robinson from the, what was it, the Florida game, you know, where he had a long play. They've got the ability to score some, and the run game's going to get them in field goal range. The point here is, I think both of us think this, a 22.5 point line is massive. Auburn has all kinds of issues, all kinds of inconsistencies. They're turnover prone, and I was vocal all offseason. I haven't done a lot of Auburn previews for this reason. I don't think Auburn's very good. And a lot of their interior defensive linemen that made their run defense good transferred. They got a couple of those guys shoring up Florida's defense right now, like Newkirk. Kentucky is, to my view, much more the real deal of all these tests Georgia's had. I think Georgia passes the test. I think they do it soundly. I don't think they're going to do it in spectacular fashion just because Kentucky's too good of a team. And there is no shame in them winning this game by two touchdowns by any means. Kentucky's a team way too many people are sleeping on. They're way more capable. But this is where Georgia's run defense is going to make life hell for Kentucky. And I don't see, personally, I just don't see anywhere where Kentucky's going to have the capability of scoring more than 20 points. Because unless they shock me with their ability to run the ball, I don't think they have anywhere near the passing game. I mean, maybe they hit a shot or two, but they don't have enough to get three drives out of the passing game. I just don't see it. The only way, in my view, that Georgia likely covers is if Kentucky ends up in desperation mode, that they really do try to win it late, even though they're down two scores. And it's, like you said, the Wisconsin-Notre Dame cover, where that was like a three-point lead in halfway through the fourth quarter, and Notre Dame won by like 20 points or something. But to me, that's the only way I can justify this point spread. Kentucky's just too good of a team with far too good of a defense to reliably beat them by 23 points.
Josh, just real quick, is there also something in terms of like how this could be a trap bet for people betting either the over or taking Georgia, in that not realizing that Georgia has played, this will be, you know, three named teams in a row, right? Like, this is, at some point, that grind, even if they're not great teams, having to prepare for teams that could beat other good teams, having to prepare for teams who have some depth, who have some skill players. Like, at some point, and I think we saw that with Alabama this Saturday, playing enough, not elite teams, but enough good teams in a row can wear on you a little bit. And that's where we see either losses or not covers that are unexpected, right?
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong, is Georgia covered six games in a row now? I think they have, because at Clemson, they were an underdog, right? UAB, they win by 49. South Carolina, they won by 27. Vandy, 62, had to cover, whatever the number was. Arkansas, 37, I know covered. And then Auburn, 24, I believe, covered. So I think they're 6-0 versus the spread. And I almost wonder if a lot of people look at these games and say, look, they cover no matter what the number is. They had 24 on Auburn, 37 on Arkansas. 22.5 points would have covered in every game since the opener. Surely they'll do it in this one. And I think there's a mistake there because, one, you overvaluing Auburn, I think, is a part of it. And Arkansas's defense is sound and physical, but it's actually not that great against the run. It's more they can handle the pass well enough that those explosive passing offenses fall back on the run and then they deal with them. It's kind of a combination of factors. But they don't hold up straight up at the point of attack. They're a three-down front or a three-man front. Kentucky is much more the real deal. They're a lot closer to Clemson in how they play, and it's a much harder matchup. So I kind of wonder if maybe that's it. We've said it a million times, and we need to stop saying the point, but I'm really shocked at the 22.5 point line.
Yeah, and just as a final parting thought, I don't want Georgia fans to get frustrated when we downplay Auburn, because Georgia, unlike Penn State, beat them soundly on the road. So like you said, there's no shame in a 24-point win. There's no shame if you only beat Kentucky by two touchdowns, because we think Kentucky's a good team. The concern is not if you beat Kentucky by two touchdowns. It's if you beat, you know, Missouri by 6 points. That's where we get concerned. But 34-10 on the road at Auburn with a crowd that was energized after coming off an LSU win, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, Penn State fans are mad at us because we're saying Auburn's not very good, because they see that as an indictment on their game against Penn State, and it is. But Georgia winning 34-10 is fine. Like, you're still number one. Like, that is a good result for you. So I don't want Georgia fans to get upset when we talk, when, you know, talk, speak ill of Auburn, because we've been speaking ill of Auburn since June. I like these scores we got. I wouldn't be surprised. And here's the one place where I think Georgia might cover if it's not the way we've talked about. And this might give Georgia fans ultimate hope. And this is what they're going to be saying in the comments. They're going to be saying, we haven't had to show our whole offense because nobody stressed us this year. If we really want to come out and flex, that's a whole different game. It's a whole different style of offense that we're going to call. If we need to get 45 points in this game, or we feel like we can get 45 points in this game, we're going to go out and get it. You just haven't seen it yet because we haven't had to do it. So that's my only thought where they might be able to cover as well. Josh, give me one 30-second parting shot on this one, and we'll wrap it up.
My 30-second parting shot would be to touch on the receivers. The big key for Georgia, if you want to get in the playoffs and win a playoff, is probably going to be depending upon your receiving core to turn things around in terms of having a lot of very high-level depth. Yes, they've been productive, but I don't think you're going to wow anybody with a McConkey. We haven't seen it. Look, Pickens and Washington, or Pickens and Gilbert are not coming through that door. People keep talking about how they were out there top four pass rushers. This is where we got into people with Twitter in the Clemson game. Look, the top two in that list aren't coming back, and that's not going to get fixed. But what you can do is try to get Burton 100% healthy. Get Washington is going to get better. He's got a bolt in his foot, and it's going to take a couple months probably for him to be right. But he'll be redder around playoff time. And if you can get those guys developed in December and you can actually have a real vertical passing game, hopefully with 100% healthy Daniels. And I do think you're going to see Bennett until Daniels is 100% healthy from whatever's wrong with him. You're going to stay a little bit limited. And that's fine because the defense is so good. You're going to be able to make the SEC championship undefeated, no matter if there are any sort of bumps on the offensive side of the ball. And there's nothing wrong with being ball control when you're this good on the defensive side of the ball. But to win in the playoffs, where you're going to face some offenses that are going to put up 30-plus points every game against any level of defense, because that's what RPO, high-level elite offenses do, you're going to need an offense that can reliably score over 30 on a good defense, and you're going to need some weapons to be able to do that.
All right, y'all, that's it for us on this one. Give us your score predictions in the comments, and keep an eye out for that Ohio State versus Georgia model hypothetical discussion that we're going to have later this week. Thanks so much, y'all. Have a great week. God bless.